Now is the floor for Grégory Chambon of the University, Freie Universität Berlin.
Don't worry, I don't speak about really about mathematics, but about notation for numbers, that is to say about writing. First, I would like to thank Henri Zemel and Professor Yushu Gong for inviting me at the conference. And I would like to thank all China's colleagues and the organizing committee for the organization. The expression sexagesimal numbers brings to mind the modern division of the circle and the hour, as well as a long history beginning with the Babylonians and going on with the Greek and the Arabic scholars. Numerous works concerning the history of mathematics have repeated that the Babylonians counting in a sexagesimal system with place value notation, in the same way as our modern decimal system. And that this system has been an academic system of numeration used by the astronomers until the period of the Renaissance. The cuneiform documentation offers us a terminus antequem for the use of the sexagesimal numbers in place value notation. Until now, a scratch pad from the Ur-Tui period, end of the third millennium, represent the earliest known and securely dated example of the use. Nevertheless, the origin of the so-called sexagesimal place-value system is still much debated, both by philologists and by mathematicians. Controversy over its origins usually revolves around 3 points. First, several authors have focused their attention on the mutually dynamic relationship between writing and language. How and in which language were the number notation pronounced? By recognizing the linguistic nature of the problem, it will be possible to explain the origin of counting with 60 as basis. As hexagesimal notation can be discerned in the earliest written documents from Uruk, at the end of the fourth millennium, it is debated whether the Sumerian numbers words originated in this notation or whether it is the other way around. The study of the linguistic background brings us, therefore, to the so-called Sumerian question: was the language of the earliest text from Mesopotamia actually Sumerian? Second, a graphic explanation for the invention of the sexagesimal place value notation will be that the sign for 60 came to be written with a standard stylus in the same manner as the sign for 1, that is to say with a vertically wedge. This long-lasting lack of visual distinction has been interpreted as a fundamental step of the development of the principle of sexagesimal place value notation. This assumption requires a mathematical or anthropological explanation to the sexagesimal pattern of the system. Why did a system of numerical notation, which rises in powers of 60, play a prominent role during 2 millennia? Third, other scholars try to advance or to infirm the thesis that sexagesimal numbers in place value notation must have been used in the solution procedures, which were never explicit, underlying mathematical problems now from the third millennium. In which respect would be the formal structure of the problems themselves reflect the recourse to the sexagesimal place value system? On one hand, these various methodologies succeed in showing that the problem of the origin cannot be solved within the limited point of view of a single field. On the other hand, some assumption raises a number of fundamental problems, which I propose to discuss in my paper. The purpose of my paper is not to give easy answers to this question and to take part in all the debates, but rather to address new questions concerning the study of the origin of the sexagesimal place value system, which will take into account the functions of writing as a cultural technique, German Kulturtechnik. in which context and how were the different sexagesimal system of numbers notation actually used? What does reading a written number mean? What does writing play a heuristic role by representing numbers on clay? The discussion of the nature of the interaction between counting, calculating, and writing requires a few preliminary remarks pointing out two modern cultural dependent phenomena which influence considerably our approach to the mental and graphic representation of number in the past. The first phenomenon concerns the current confusion between the meanings of the following three expressions: system of numbers, system of numeration, and system of notation for numbers. A number system is defined, in a mathematical point of view, by a set of numbers together with one or more operations, which structure this set, like the natural numbers, 1, 2, 3, etc., or the real numbers. The system of numeration is used by humans to express numbers with signs, like written symbols, words, or gestures, in a consistent manner. A system of notation for numbers represents a specific system of numeration which implies written signs to represent numbers. The second must not be confused with the third, which doesn't necessarily reflect. For example, we can think about the various manners in European languages to pronounce 80, 80, 80, but also 80, yeah? 4 times 20, or 32, 32, 32, but also 32. The study of a system of notation for numbers is, above all, of philological nature and requires knowledge of the characteristic of a particular writing system. Thus, we should be careful with the terminology we use, such as Sumerian numbers, when we actually mean Sumerian notations for numbers. The second phenomenon, which conditions our interpretation of the whole system of numbers notation, is a prominent role played in our culture by the decimal place value system. Contrary to the ancient Arabic and Renaissance scholars, we employ today this system not only to represent and carry out computation, but also to express what is enumerated and in discursive texts. It is a French method of carrying out multiplication. I think that the English method is the same, or something like that, but not the German method. Yeah, but example. We perform by hand the operation 134 times 2.5 with the same written signs as those we are embodied in the following problem text, a librarian bought 154 books. Each book costs 2.5 euros of much did he pay. It may be underlined that the use of this type of notations is necessitated by calculations because the place of the digits allows one to carry out computation procedures. However, it is possible to substitute, for example, 134 in alphabetic writing and 2.5 in alphabetic writing. The choice of the system of notation for numbers, which employs either the characters of the alphabet or the repertory of figures, is of primary importance in order to perform computation techniques, but of secondary importance to express what is counted. This dichotomy between the descriptive function and the operative function of written numbers led to the notion of context-dependent notation for numbers. The term context-dependent does not mean that the notation for numbers may vary according to the nature of the counting objects or persons, but rather that they depend on the type of operation, counting or calculating, whose result is expressed on clay. During more than two millennia, the scribes of Mesopotamia distinguished several systems of notation for numbers. we will focus our attention here on two main systems. First, the sexadecimal system of notation for numbers, and second, the sexagesimal place value system. The older system of notation for numbers is the so-called sexagesimal system of notation for numbers, attested in the proto-cuneiform text from Uruk around the end of the 4th millennium BC. I have to add another science now. It was employed to write the numbers of counting things, such as animals, humans, objects, or the highest units of area, weight, and capacity measures. The earliest form of the system possesses already a repetitive structure with an alternating series of factors 6, 10, 6, 10, 6, 10. Thus, the system is not sexagesimal, but sexadecimal, not sexagesimal, rather sexadecimal. In order to express very high numbers, the scribe used specific signs which enable to move from a range to a higher range. For example, the small circle and its cuneiform successor, the oblique wedge, Winkelhaken, was inscribed in some sign for indicating a factor 10. The sign gal, which means big in Sumerian, is not really a number sign, but functions as an indicator for increasing the range of a number sign with one step. This use may be proven, for example, by the fact that the scribe of the early dynastic period may represent the number 648,000 either with char chargal or with three chargal, but never with the repetition chargal, chargal, chargal. This example of a relative scribal liberty raises the question of the reading of the numerical notations. It is also the case with these two different notations for the same numbers 180,000. Was this number always spelled out in the same way? Or did the scribe scrupulously read the two groups of signs, respectively as Sharuya, that is to say 36,005, for 5 times 36,000, and Sharninu, that is to say 3,650, for 50 times 3,600. I cannot answer this question for the moment, but I think that this heuristic role of writing, which enables the scribes to exchange the notation for representative numbers within certain rules, shows a relative independence of the writing techniques vis-à-vis of reading. These writing techniques, for example, were not developed in-house in the whole Babylonian period, for offering the possibility of representing numbers of a higher range than the numbers written chargal, that is to say 216,000. For instance, the old Babylonian metrological text lists a series of area, weight, and capacity measures in an increasing order. At the end of each series, after the number chargal of the highest measures, the scribe wrote the indication chargal, which cannot be reached by hand, Sumerian shunutag. This meaning is twofold. The scribe was not able to express conceptually and graphically such a number. Tag is Akkadian lapatou, impressed. The development of the sexadecimal system offered a solution later, as it is shown by a copy of the lexical list EA5 from the Neo-Babylonian period. The specific function of the system the usual chargal, the notation for 216,000, was written here with a vertically wedge inside the sign char. In the following sign char, the scribe wrote the sign gal, followed by a vertically wedge, in order to indicate that we move to the higher range, that is to say, from 216,000 to 60 times 260,000. In the following signs, there are two vertically wedged after Gal. It represents the number of the next range, this is to say 60 times 260,000. The scribe did not write further, but it is clear that this new graphic method, consisting of adding a vertically wedge each time after Gal, can be repeated in order to express other higher numbers. But I refer to the Theodore Seale's contribution concerning the way of generating new signs. Let me talk about the sexagesimal place value system. The main characteristic of this type of notation consists in using only two signs, namely the sign which has originally only the values 1, a vertical wedge, and 10, an oblique wedge. These double digits, that we call sequences of digits, represent the whole number smaller than 60, from 1 to 59. The principle of this numerical representation may be illustrated by the following numerical tablets. The position of a sequence of digits within a number determines its value. Moving a sequence of digits to the left increases its value by a factor 60. All power of the basis number 60 could theoretically be represented by the same signs, namely the vertical wedge and the tenfold numbers of these by the oblique wedge. The vertical wedge, for example, could be interpreted as 1, 60, 3,000, 3,600, and so on, but also as 1 60s and 1 3,600s as a fraction. Because there was no way of expressing the absolute value of a number, it is usually claimed that the scribe were able to write any numbers, even very high numbers or small fraction in this system. In order to carry out computations, the scribe used a metronumerical list, like this one, with the measures of weight on the left column, for example, and the notation in sexagesimal place value system on the right. This list enables to translate the metrological and numerical notation from the text into notation in sexagesimal place value system. At the end of the calculations, the final answer had to be translated back into the underlying metrological system of units. So a problem will be stated in proper units, and the solution will be given in proper units. But the intermediate calculations were carried out with the help of the sexagesimal place value system. It may be pointed out that the function of the sexagesimal place value system was not to directly represent numbers in the strict sense of the word. Indeed, it was used to exhibit only results of calculating techniques by representing directly other sequences of digits resulting from computation made by hand, or indirectly the symbol or artifact of some sort of computing tools, tokens, abacus, dustboard, etc. These sequences are often graphically separated by a blank intermediate space or even organized in columns, like for example in the earliest Ur 3 text with notation in sexagesimal place value system. The specific function of the system may be explained by two examples. In the first example, we see how the notation in sexagesimal place value system were spelled out. This is an exception, this tablet. It is a table of reciprocals, that is to say a pair of numbers whose product is the power of 60. It was found in Sultan Tepe. The text had already experienced a long history of transmission when it came to the collector of the Sultan Tepe archive, as it is evident from the numerous breaks in the text copied by a scribe, indicated by the word repeat broken. Contrary to the standard tables of reciprocals with only numerical notation, this one contains quasi-phonating writing of notation in sexagesimal place value system. This unusual fact gives us an important information. The scribes did not usually spell out the numerous words in this system, like the modern 20, 19, or 200, but the sequences of digits. It may be assumed that, for example, the following notation would have been spelled like this in Sumerian or Akkadian: 4, 37, 46, 40, instead of 1 million. The second example comes from the old Babylonian documentation found in Mari, located in the Middle Euphrates. In a mathematical exercise, a scribe wrote 1,348 talents of silver instead of the correct 828 talents of silver. This error does not come from computing, but from writing the numerical results. The scribe, an Akkadian native speaker, interpreted the sequences of digits 1348, which represent the correct computation results in the sexagesimal place value system, not as 30 times 60 plus 48, but as 30 times 100 plus 48. Therefore, the usually claimed assumption that it is possible to write any range of numbers from the smallest fraction to the highest numbers in the sexagesimal place value system is a modern assumption, which may be our view. In fact, the aim of the scribe was not to represent originally and any ordinary numbers in this system, but to express simply sequences of digits coming from or used for calculating techniques. In the same way, we can extract a series of digits from a modern multiplication, which does not directly correspond to a number like this. It's not directly a number, it's just a sequence of digits, 1, 6, 6, 8. Having presented the context of use of the sexagesimal system of notation for numbers and sexagesimal place value system, we can turn over to the question of their origins. As seen above, the functions of the two systems were different. The sexagesimal place value system appears in texts which provide numerical data for calculating or for presenting numerical results. School exercises, mathematical and astronomical works, numerical tablets, administrative graph, or indication on the edge of tablets. The sexadecimal system of notation for numbers, however, is used to embody what is counted or enumerated in discursive text, administrative, legal, meteorological text, wire inscription, letters, etc., such as animals, humans, or measuring units. This principle of context dependence concerning the system of notation, which coexisted during more than two millennia, show that it is misleading to postulate a linear evolution, graphic, mathematical, and conceptual, from the sexadecimal system of notation for numbers, which accompanied the emergence of writing, to the invention of the sexadecimal place value system at the end of the third millennium. This later system is not the final step of a process by which the number of signs was reduced to just two. In a strictly graphemic point of view, the vertical wedge in this system derived from the small cone used for the base unit, but not from the big cone used for 60. The oblique wedge derived from the small circle used for 10. However, these two signs were not originally created and conceptualized in order to replace all the symbols for each power of 60. Each sequence of the oblique wedge and vertical wedge corresponds simply to a digit from 1 to 59, whose place within the other sequences depending on the computations themselves. Consequently, the fact that the sign for 60 came to be written with the standard stylus in the same manner as the sign for 1 was not really intentional. The fact that the sexagesimal place value system didn't unify all forms of earlier notation and replace them is proved also by the long coexistence of the two systems of notation for numbers. There were particularly different ways of writing the sign for 4, 4, 7, 8, 9, and 40, according to the 2 system. Unless we take for granted that the sexagesimal place value system represents the culminate point of a pure linear cognitive process along time, we have to review the well-known opposition between the so-called concrete numbers and abstract numbers. In this assumption, the sexagesimal system of numbers notations belong to the system used to write concrete numbers, because it is always specified what is counted and in it, and because people were obliged to use different symbols to represent different power of 60. On the contrary, the sexagesimal place value system is considered as the carrier of the concept of abstract numbers, independent of any particular meteorological system and applicable to them all by calculating. Once again, the inference of the context-independent use of our decimal place value system, both by writing a text and by computing by hand, was responsible for this attractive idea, which seems to match very well with many anthropological and cognitive theories. In fact, contrary to the decimal place value system, the sexagesimal place value system was not used in order to represent abstract numbers, as pointed above, but to express numerical sequences of digits. The difference between this system and the other system of numbers or measures notation does not depend on the nature of the counting or measure things, but on the context according to which the scribe were carrying computation or were writing the counting and measures things in discursive text. The passage from one context to the other does not necessarily reflect a process of cognitive abstraction. It requires, however, scribal skills in order to develop tools like numerical lists, which facilitate to move from a type of notation to the other. Just 1 minute. And to sum up, the origins of the two systems of notation should be investigated separately. The study of the evolution of the sexagesimal system of notation for numbers, on one hand, requires taking into account the local scribal tradition, the general evolution of the written signs, and the innovations having taken place in the evolution of writing. The invention of the sexagesimal place value system is to be searched out, on the other hand, in the calculating techniques, the modus operandi. We have, however, to keep in mind that the kind of computing tool associated with these techniques could have probably preceded the system of notation used with it, rather than vice versa. In other words, the fact that computation using a sexagesimal pattern are recognizable in the text from the third millennium does not indicate that the sexagesimal place value system was already invented. Our understanding of such calculating tools is unfortunately still too vague. In any case, it may be pointed out that the Babylonians didn't actually count in sexagesimal place value system. Thank you for your attention.
Gregory's talk is now open for discussion. Gordon?
It's a difficult question because there are lots of assumptions. From Bob Englund too, and I would like to say I don't know really. I think that this is not really a sexagesimal pattern. This is a sexagesimal pattern. It's something, I think, something other as a sexagesimal pattern. But for the pronunciation, I think really that there is a kind of independence of writing, which I show, a kind of independence of writing vis-à-vis of reading. That is to say, it is really difficult to know which kind of language was in use. And that, for example, the sign for gal, was used to move to an higher range, to indicate to move to that the scribe moved to an higher range, time 60. But if the GAL is an education for Sumerian language, it's difficult to answer. I would like to, I don't know. I have.
The problem with that is we know that Eurasians can be borrowed.
Yeah.
How do you say in French 50? Or,
I'm sorry, 80. 70.
That's not exactly the
70.
Inherited system.
Yeah. Right, so. Yeah. This is the reason why I would like to distinguish between system of numbers, system of numeration, and system of notation for numbers. It is really great difference between this system. And I don't believe in the opposition between a strict decimal pattern for Akkadian people and sexagesimal pattern for Sumerian people. I think it's we can read always this opposition. I think it's a little vague, because we have Akkadian people, Akkadian kings, who use the sexagesimal system in royal inscriptions. Also, the Akkadian, they were Akkadian. And in the contrary, we have in South Mesopotamia, we have lots of administrative texts with in Sumerian culture with a decimal pattern, a centesimal pattern. That is to say, this opposition is not really clear, I think.
First Jakob and then Gebhard.
Thanks. Thank you, Cornelia, for the nice talk. I just wanted to mention, of course, that GAL, as you know, is also used in Proto-Elamite, presumably, to indicate a higher step of numbers. But there it's actually attached to each of the signs.
To
each sign. So you have, when you have three, it's N48 GAL, I think it's N48 we call it.
N54.
The sign N54 has a attached GAL, and that is actually then repeated. The GAL is on each of them.
Okay.
So it doesn't follow the pattern you explained.
Okay. But I don't see the transition between the sign you showed and GAL.
No,
it was a GAL.
He's talking about the decimal notations in Proto.
Yeah. But the sign you show yesterday, within a stroke,
yes.
it is a GAL inside, or it is
no.
Okay.
No.
This is interesting to notice a transition. So say they have later. They didn't use later this stroke, but a sign GAL for the Chagall.
Okay, Gebhard.
How would you account for the fact that the notation, the counting and the counted item in these tablets are usually opposite to the sequence of language? You know, as you would expect the number behind the item in Sumerian, and especially in the light of the fact that Jakob Dahl has stated that it's apparently the opposite in Proto-Elamite tablets. Have you an idea for that? And the second one is, if you look at the early dynastic tablets, they often do not distinguish between the one and the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, you have this place where your system
decides. It's free. Well, I think that you mean, when you talk about system, you mean sexadecimal system or the Tikkun system?
Well, you have both. you know, you could interpret this 6-hexadecimal system in the early text, of course, as a
six-hexadecimal
place value system.
Yes, I think that the notation in 6-hexadecimal system were pronounced. This is sure. I don't know in which language, but they were pronounced. But the notation in 6-hexadecimal place value system, I think it was not really necessary to pronounce this. Perhaps it were pronounced, like we have these tablets with the quasi phonetic writing, but it was not. That is, which by we by like we when we perform a calculation, when we perform a multiplication, we see the numbers, we see the digits, the sequences of digits, but we have not to pronounce these digits. Just the results are numbers in text, numbers notation in text, but not the result. This one. And the second one, I have forgotten the...
I think, you know, there is the fact that you have both sides by side, so that is, and the other one was the sequence of counting and the counted item, which is opposite to the Sumerian language.
In early linguistic...
Yeah, if you have an idea why it is so, you know, maybe practical reasons, I can only speculate, but I thought perhaps you have a more sounder idea.
You mean about this vertical wedge?
Yeah, you first have the numbers and then the counted item.
Yeah.
So if you, but in Sumerian it should be the item first and the number beside, afterwards. You know, this is something strange, especially since in the Proto-Elamite, as I learned today, it's the opposite way.
I don't know. I would like to say, I don't know. I have no idea.
A last question on this topic from Robert Engel. Oh,
thanks. I like very much that you showed the late representations of big numbers. I think we all like to look at big numbers. But it's also interesting sort of because I guess you're looking at historians of numbers in late periods in Babylonian history. Because, of course, they have place-value notations later.
Yeah.
So how do you explain the use of, or the attempt to keep alive this funny old tradition of Shar and so on in later tradition? And I'm assuming that's also explaining how you have a Shar with five U's written inside. That was already an old Babylonian tablet, I think, but also So old Babylonian, when place notation had already long been established. How do you understand what they were doing? They were just being historians at that time. Then. They certainly weren't using them anywhere, were they?
Yeah. I think that this is like a paradox. I would say. I try to show. Just a minute. Yes, it is this tablet.
Yes.
This tablet is Neo-Babylonian, yeah.
Yes.
Neo-Babylonian. And this tablet is old Babylonian with a shum tag.
Right.
And I think there is it looks like a paradox. That is to say, at this time, old Babylonian period, the sexagesimal place value system was in use, this is sure. We have 1,000 schools tablets. But as I said, I think that this system was not used to really to represent numbers. This is a modern point of view. We know that we can represent the number after the higher number within this system, because we are thinking in decimal system. We have always the possibility to add digits or to represent in the basis of 60 all the numbers. But I think that the scribe were not aware of this possibility. I think that the scribe, when the scribe wrote Shumutag, I think it is conceptually, but I think it's also a written practice. The Shunutag, I think, by Shunutag is Lapatu in press. I think that at this time, in the repertory of science, there was no possibility to scribe another science for these numbers. And that later, in Neo-Babylonian time period, the scribe developed new signs, new heuristic signs to represent higher numbers. But it's not to do with sexagesimal place value system. It's difficult to explain this because we use our decimal system and we have to. Yeah, I don't know if I. Yeah.
I missed Wayne's gesture, so he can put a question.
Thinking in, where they're clearly working in cuneiform and thinking in base 10. You gave the example from Mari. There's another example from Hebron where they write out 77, 7 times 10 plus 7.
Yeah.
I seem to remember another example from Mari. Are there more of these? Many more?
Many more. This is decimal and centesimal system. Oh. Mm-hmm. That is to say, in Mari and in all the Syrian area, I have found in edge of tablets proof of a centesimal system of place value notation centesimal system. That is to say, not 60, but 100.
Okay.
And it's really... It's really
I have something to show you later.
Okay.
And just a last thing in terms of this funny combination of writing numbers, there's a fragment that measures some kind of numbers in cosmic geography, which is written out as 12, I'm doing it from memory, 12 May Lim, 16 Lim, or something like that, which comes out to 1,216,000, where it seems to be a large number in base 10 added to a large number in base 60. I may not have the numbers right, but that's the principle of the number I can give.
But the documentation of from Mari shows clearly that the scribe had lots of difficulties to perform calculation with this sexagesimal place value system. That is to say, with a system which they have imported. Yeah?
Yeah. It looks like the base 10 system is probably Western, I would guess. Thank you.
Since Antonio Amasari has drawn back his paper, we can end this session for this afternoon, and perhaps we can have a scholarly talk among each other, or otherwise doing things elsewhere.
Thank you.
What about meeting for dinner? I have to figure that out.
Thank you.